broadcasting live from the Stuart Title Studio on Broadway in Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Business Radio X, highlighting business leaders, entrepreneurs, and a whole lot more.
Hello, and good morning to the inaugural show of Weeding Out Business. I'm your host, Josh Grubaugh with Poppy Yard Solutions. We're broadcasting live from the Stuart Title Studio on Broadway in Alvernon in Tucson, Arizona. Today we are going to have a few guests on. Two of them are here now. The third is on his way. Traffic's like Phoenix, you know. The first guy I'm going to introduce is Justin Musgrove.
How you doing, Josh?
Good. He's a good friend of mine from many years back, family friends, and he works for American Family Insurance. Him and his wife run an agency in Tucson on the north side of town, and we want to talk to him today a little bit about what he does. And the second guest is Alex Alvarez. He's a loan officer with Guaranteed Rate, and we're going to talk to him about what he thinks about what he does and, you know, what kind of challenges he's overcome in you know, starting his business in that industry. And, you know, we're interested in, you know, seeing the strategies and goals these guys have for the next year and how they're going to do it. And the third guest's name is Alex Ortiz. He will be here shortly. But let's go ahead and start it off. Justin, he went to Santa Rita High School, mm-hmm. 1 year older than I am. What made you get into the insurance business?
You know, man, it's actually quite a long story. I don't know if we got enough time, but, you know, man, it's always been one of those things where, you know, I've always had a gift of gab, I guess you would say. And as everybody's looking at me, they're probably smiling. But you know, it's one of those things where I started off in the, aircraft industry as an aircraft mechanic. And, you know, it just, did that for about 6 years. And I had a really close, personal family friend of mine, after the layoff came to me and said, man, I really think that you would make a great, you know, great living in this career. And, he kind of opened up the window of opportunity for me and I seized it, man. It was tough getting in. You know, it was something that I was completely unaccustomed to, had absolutely no clue as to where I was going to go. I knew he was very successful in what he did. And so I knew that, you know, if I just followed in his footsteps, you know, it would definitely lead me down a road, you know, that I wanted to travel. So
do you think that, like, getting into a business like that, you hear about a close person that's successful and it's like, well, do you know the same people they know? Or is it good that you maybe had a different realm of people, or are you just like cold calling and just nailing phone call after phone call? Or what's the best, what's the mindset going into it with a friend of that?
Yeah, man, it was one of those things where I knew he was going to take me underneath his wing. You know, Scott was my dad's best friend. I always looked up to him as a personal mentor and, hadn't quite yet gotten to the business realm, but I knew that he was going to, he wasn't going to lead me astray. I knew that he was going to, you know, take me and introduce me to everybody that he knew. And then at the same time to allow me the opportunity to, generate my own base of clients. And I had a lot of, friends that were venturing into, their personal roles in business. And so I just knew that I had to reach out to them. I knew I had to make the phone calls. I knew, you know, that I had to do a lot of the right things right to get to where it was that I was wanting to be.
And I mean, to be brave enough to just do it.
Yeah.
Man, you know, you got to do it.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a different role because it wasn't straight like 100% commission right off the bat. I mean, there was a safety net there. And I think that's kind of what gave me a little bit of sense of comfort, especially going into an industry like this. Because now, you know, here I am almost 6 years into it. Everything's 100% commission. Everything's 100% renewals. And, you know, you get to learn, you know, really quickly. It's either feast or famine. And, you know, your net worth is your net worth. And yeah, the more hands you shake, the more money you make. And it's so true in every aspect. I mean, it's just whether it's from a mentorship level or just an individual that, you know, does a quality, that does quality work that you can just continue to refer out to, and just use them as a resource. And then you yourself are a resource for the clients that, you know, that you put yourself in front of.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Poppy Yards is 100% commission.
Yeah, absolutely.
No work, no money.
It's always doing mortgages.
Yeah.
And Alex, you're with Guaranteed Rate.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, who's the guy that you worked with? Your buddy?
Yeah. So I Burr? With Roy Burr.
Roy Burr, right.
I'm on Roy Burr's team.
Good deal.
Yeah.
And you guys, how many months have you worked with Roy?
So I'm just a little bit about myself. So I'm born and raised Tucsonan. Went to Santa Rita High School, just like you both. So go Eagles, right?
Baseball.
In the house. Mm-hmm. Played some baseball, too.
Baseball.
Went to the University of Arizona. You know, go Cats, bear down. After graduating with a business degree, going to Enterprise Rent-A-Car and going through their training program, been a manager, worked there for about 6 years, decided to kind of take a leap of faith and joining Roy Burr's team and doing mortgages.
Right.
And been doing it now for about a year, been on his team for actually just over a year now, and the rest is history. It's going very well.
It's, you know, that's like, I feel like I understand a lot of things, and I really just don't understand that. Like, you're in the industry of mortgages. I understand, like, you got to become good friends with realtors so that way when they get people that want to buy houses, they're like, hey, talk to Alex, and then the rest is history.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as doing mortgages and being a lender, my goal is to be that guy for people who have the need for mortgages. So if there's a real estate agent who has somebody who's in the market to buy a house, they're saying, hey, you know what? I have a guy who's going to get you set up with your mortgage.
Right.
And so that's my goal. So that's the, I guess, biggest challenge that I've faced so far in my first year in this industry is creating more relationships, meeting more people, like Justin said, shaking hands, you know, kissing babies, and getting my name out there so that when that need comes for a mortgage, that I'm that guy.
Right. So what do you do? Like, what are your strategies to get in front of people? Like, do you do referral marketing with a group of people, or do you go to open houses of realtors that you don't even know? Or like, do you just show up and try to give some cards and introduce yourself and make them laugh? I mean, that's what you're good at.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do have a couple secrets. You never know who's listening, but I do, you know, we do follow this training program called The Core, and it is a training program for real estate professionals and for mortgage professionals.
Right.
So we do have structured methods of marketing to realtors, marketing to our past clients, keeping track of our leads, and just working our sphere of influence as well. So,
right.
You know, we have a structured way of approaching.
It's like a cycle. I mean, we all kind of focus on same strategies in a nutshell, but the core is something that you guys both have kind of done and are doing, I think, right,
yeah,
Justin?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the principle is pretty much the same across the board. You know, I think with every industry, I mean, there are certain expectations that absolutely, or certain things that absolutely have to happen throughout the course of the day to create the success. I mean, I think a lot of us have always heard the term ABR, you know, activity breeds the results. You know, and so with that, I mean, the tracking form that Alex is using with his team, you know, is something that, you know, it tracks the activity. It creates it. It shows you what it is that you need to do. It's kind of like a roadmap, you know, just a roadmap to success, you know? And so, I think a lot of industries, you know, yeah, you could tweak it to, you know, the mortgage and the real estate, and you could kind of tweak it into every single business. You know, there's a certain amount of face-to-faces that you have to do. You know, there's a certain amount of individuals that you either want to take to lunch or, you know, get in front of and, you know, go to breakfast, have some coffee, you know, because there is, if you look at it, you know, there's something to say about when you actually go and you actually, you know, eat or have a meal with somebody, whether it's coffee, whether it's, you know, breakfast, whether it's lunch, or, you know, whatever the circumstance is, there's a little bit more of a personal level that, you know, kind of comes about it. And I think, you know, for my business, you know, hit that personal aspect is exactly what it is, that I do really well. And I think that's something that has helped me succeed, and just that have that constant success and just knowing, you know, that, you know, I can do it just a little bit better. As long as I'm better tomorrow, you know, than I was today, you know, I'm definitely heading in the right direction. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's the relationships before the rates. And, you know, you've got to build and establish those relationships, especially with your COIs, those individuals that are going to be sending you the business, because, you know, at the end of the day, man, I mean, yeah, you know, business is business, but, you know, some of these individuals that I do a lot of business with are some of my closest friends,
right.
The individuals that, you know, my family and I, you know, spend time around, and the individuals that, you know, are influencing, you know, that I allow to influence not only me, but I allow to influence my family.
Right.
You know, some of my closest friends and their wives, I mean, they have a huge or a very close relationship. You know, and when I allow them to come in my family, well, you know, I also have two boys also. And so just the friends that I choose to be around, you know, are individuals that, you know, I'm going to allow to influence my boys as well.
Right.
So, but yeah, you know, just getting back to the tracker, I mean, it's, you know, it's just making sure that, you know, you're making, you know, these calls with, you know, intent, you know, because you can just make calls to make calls and, you know, so can a robot, you know, and, but the reality of it is, you know, if you're not making these phone calls with intent, I mean, you're really just, you know, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
So,
you know, it's your business and my business, Poppy Yard Solutions, we rely maybe not solely at all, but we get a lot more support from the family members, potentially more than Alex, I think, because sometimes your family already owns the homes.
Right.
So like that's almost an outlet that, you know, is available, but has to have perfect timing. Right. And it has to make sure you're planting a lot more seeds for the future, opposed to the now business with friends and family, potentially. You know,
I think it's important to make sure that you're constantly reaching out to your friends and family and just, having them remember exactly what we're in the industry doing. Because if I had, for instance, a cousin recently who I had told multiple times they knew I was in the mortgage industry, and then for whatever reason, when they were ready to go buy a house, they forgot that I was doing that.
You know?
So it's important to make sure that you're still reaching out to everyone that's in your circle.
That's like brand recognition. So our next guest, he just arrived. He came in from a plane. Alex Ortiz. He is the owner of Squeegee Masters. To give me more detail about the business, Alex.
So Squeegee Masters, I'll start with where I started. Started here in Tucson, tinning vehicles, automobiles, a lot of houses. Recently decided to break off on my own. We started a company called Squeegee Masters, and right now we're gearing a lot towards energy efficiency, which is a lot of residential window tinting.
Okay.
A lot of people are unfamiliar with how efficient it is.
Right. And you went to high school here too, right? You didn't go to high school here?
From Chicago.
Okay.
Moved here in 2009.
Okay, right on. Because you knew some people that went to Palo Verde. That's why I thought you went here. Good deal. So yeah, you moved here. You love to play golf, right? I mean, you're
I'm not very good, but you know what I tell people when I link up with them? I go, I'm not good, but I play fast.
while we're young. Just to let everybody know, we are broadcasting live streaming on TucsonBusinessRadio.com. You can listen to this series podcast on this channel at your leisure. If you didn't know, I am Josh Grubaugh, owner of Poppy Yard Solutions, your weed control and landscape specialist in Tucson, upper echelon stuff, you know, none of that. You know, we're not going to call you. We're going to show up and we're going to be there every month if you want us to.
Yeah, let's talk about follow-up, man.
Let's talk about follow-up. Follow-ups.
You just definitely hit the
follow-up is
sensitive topic, man.
There's a lot of business, you know. A lot of businesses, like every business in life, revolves on follow up. You know, some are follow ups every year, some are follow ups every month, some are bi-weekly, right? And
some people don't even follow up at all.
You wouldn't even believe how simple it is to just call somebody that somebody else wouldn't. You know, and that's something I found is that we got a customer that this lady's awesome. She just told me if you can be here every Thursday at 8 a.m., there will be a check for you here. And so I told her, okay. And, you know, we go there every Thursday and we do our hour and a half works of work and we collect the check and then we come back 2 weeks later and we don't even communicate. We just go and do it. And it's just unbelievable. And the reason we're there is because the guy before wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The check would just be there. The check would be there for, I could have went and got it, you know?
Yeah. And how did you initially get their business?
So we got their initial business through Home Advisor. Sorry. Let me backtrack. Not Home Advisor. We got a guy. It's a local lead source in Tucson that provides good vendors and service industry people to homeowners, right? And people that need service. So we get leads through them. We give them a small percentage after the job's completed. And, you know, hopefully the margin is in our favor, you know, obviously for long-term success using their service. We use Home Advisor. We got a guy. We're in a referral marketing group. you know, I call real estate signs. I try to keep in contact with you guys, you know, because you guys all know the people that I just mentioned.
Yeah. related to the home business.
And everybody owns a house, right? So, and it's tough. You know, it's the hardest thing that I've found is that, like, how do you grow a business and still, like, do what you've been doing, you know? And it's impossible, right? You wake up earlier and you, you know, hopefully can only change one or two diapers before you leave the dump. No, so, you know, it is – follow-up's key. I know you've – I'm going to wait for you on the follow-up. I'm interested to hear about Alex. Like, what are some follow-up strategies?
I had, like, breakthroughs with follow-up. So, like, when I first started negotiating, it was all automotive. And I had people left and right that kept telling me, hey, I need this done. I need this done. I need this done. And I got sick of hearing it because so many people want their cars tinted. But when it comes down to it, you know, they kind of lag. And they go, oh, next week and next week. And – at first, I got kind of frustrated with it, where I got to the point where I didn't call people back. When I saw people out at, you know, a restaurant, and they said, hey, you know, I want to get my vehicle tinted. They had been, like, you know, the other 100 people that had said that to me that week.
Right.
And I got to the point where it was about how I followed up. You just got to follow up in the right way.
Right.
So, you know, I wait the right amount of time, and then I'll, you know, call up, hey, you know, were you still thinking about doing that?
Right.
And even in customer referrals, or in gaining customers and calling customers back, that's big too. But I've also learned that the follow-up on what you should be receiving is a big thing too. I used to work with insurance companies, and I would watch accounts receivable just stack and stack and stack and stack because they were not being attended to.
Right.
And it goes back to following up. And following up is just – it's a core thing to build off of if you really want to maximize how much money you're bringing in.
Right. I mean, value to your company, right? I mean, if you want people to think of what you have to offer as legitimate and something that people can refer, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The thing that I was, you know, you're focusing on this too, I think, this year is building relationships. And, you know, people tend to buy from people they know, like, and trust, right? It's like a script, right?
Everybody. Too, a big part of follow up, the reason why we follow up is so that we're top of mind when that need comes, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, with what we're doing, you know, we have a structured calendar for each day of the week. So on Mondays, we're following up with our real estate partners and our top 40 realtors, calling them, seeing how they're doing, staying top of mind. So if they have somebody, you know, they're referring, we're that guy.
Right.
Tuesday, we do our loan status updates. So loans that we have in processing, we're calling the realtors, calling the borrowers, making sure that they're up to date, you know, with what's going on with their loan. Wednesdays, we're calling our pre-qualified borrowers so that we're staying top of mind with them, because there's a lot of people that are out shopping for different rates, you know, talking to different people out there. So every Wednesday, we're calling our pre-qualified buyers. Hey, how you doing? Do you need anything?
Right.
Thursday, we're calling our past clients, so people that we've closed a loan with, staying top of mind with them if they need to refinance or if they have any family or friends that are, you know, looking to get set up or refinance, what have you.
Right.
And then Fridays, we're calling our top 50 VIPs, so just our sphere of influence people, you know, that are important to us and that we want to stay in touch with. So that's our structure way of having follow up, and has been successful.
Right. No, that's good. You know, I think that I kind of lost track of where I was going with this, but, you know, following up with people is key, and making sure that they understand that you're a brand. Right? I heard this cool quote. This is what I was going to say. You know, Nike's a brand and Reebok's a shoe company. You know, like, you know, there's a lot of different people in the world, in our city, doing what we're doing. What's going to stand us apart? Right? Like, how are we going to be different? Obviously, we're all very cool people, and you can get along with a lot of people. We've not really been the fighters of the bunch growing up, and you know, says a lot, you know. And you want to buy for somebody you can trust, and you know, I think that it's amazing. One thing about all of our businesses is that what you said kind of is like, people are like, oh, next week, right? It's like, people want the work done; they want it done then. Right, there's loyalty on the relationship, but on the service, sometimes it doesn't need to be there. You know, people just want the service, and unfortunately, if you aren't there to jump on it, and that person is a quick thinker and quick decision maker, lost.
And which, on the contrary, is something I kind of left out, which is also what I learned to do, which was to get it right there and then.
Yeah, right.
And that's another way for me to bypass that.
Right, situation. Right then and there.
Well, it's like that, you know, that saying that the be back bus doesn't stop, you know, here.
Yeah.
So, I'll be back. I'll give you another phone call.
Yeah.
And it never happens. So you got to close it right there while the interest is there.
And what is, and Justin, so what is your, you know, you get internet leads. I know you, you know, use a bunch of different strategies of how you get your leads, and, you know, referrals obviously are key.
Sure.
What's your like first step when you get a person that you've talked to a month ago and then you want to call them again? Do you email? Do you call? What do you think? Do you go off of the relationship that you have with them to make that decision?
You know,
is it not set in stone?
Yeah, well, it's all dependent. You know, I mean, we have a CRM platform that we use. I mean, after I make the initial phone call, if I don't end up landing the sale, you know, I mean, I'll definitely set myself up, you know, for a follow-up phone call. You know, I mean, there's several forms of contact that you can have, you know, with these prospects, you know, whether it's over the phone, whether it's email, whether it's, you know, showing up, you know, at their business or text message. I mean, there's several different forms. So, you can't really rely and you can't really rely on one form. I mean, you have to hit in several different angles. But you know, I mean, to follow up with somebody I haven't followed up with in quite some time, maybe to kind of go back to your question. Yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, I rely on what it was, you know, how I left off, you know, the phone call. And so, you know, it's just, I will try to leave the phone call, setting myself up for success on that next phone call. And, you know, I think you have to go in it, you know, with the right mindset. You know, an individual that's not here right now, really close friend of mine, a lot of, you know, close friend of all of ours, Tyler Lopez. And, you know, he does a lot of coaching. He's actually on a coaching call right now, but,
with my wife.
Yeah. you can see the real tight group and everybody is connected, you know, one way or the other. But, you know, he and I, we do personal, you know, coaching sessions, just he and I. I've known Tyler for 20 some odd years. But every Friday, you know, we get together, we have coffee. And we just share with each other, man, like just, our successes, our failures, you know, our vision for, you know, what we have, you know, for our business, you know, where we see each other going together in this industry. And, you know, he made a comment to me that's really stuck in my head. And at the top of the paper, you know, he had me write, you know, simply, it's like me to, and then, you know, dot, dot, dot. And he had me list, you know, 1 through 25. And, you know, it kind of goes back to that thing, like where, you know, if you end up telling yourself something enough, you begin to believe it as a truth, whether it was true to begin with or whether it was false. And so, you know, going, you know, kind of tying this all into the follow up is, you know, it's like me, you know, to follow up with my clients. It's like me to have more than just one follow up because, you know, you guys all know that, you know, in this industry, I mean, I don't necessarily know the actual number. You know, you talk to 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different statistics. But a vast majority of individuals in the sales industry don't ever follow up past the first time.
Right.
You know, and then as you continue to go, you know, this, you know, looking at the, you know, the sales experts, you know, how many times they follow up after, you know, the second time or the third time. But, you know, it's one of those things that you have to stay in it. You have to have a long-term plan to get the business because, I mean, a lot of us know, I mean, it takes sometimes eight plus contacts just to get a hold of the client.
Yep.
And then maybe another eight after that just to close it. And so, you know, if you're not going to go into, you know, if you go into the phone call without having that, you know, that roadmap in front of you, well, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. And, you know, you're going to end up in between a rock and a hard place and some place where you don't want to be and just wasting your time.
Right.
Well, yeah. One of the things I learned from Roy, you know, my mentor and my team leader is that it's important in this type of industry where we're chasing leads and trying to follow up people and trying to grow our business to be more of a farmer and less of a hunter.
Yep, sure.
So instead of hunting for single deals, plant your seed, nurture your leads, and then even if it's not popping right now, next year you may have all of these leads that you've been nurturing that will turn into business for you.
Right.
So
do you know what the slogan for my company is? You just said the word. Popping. yeah, the business radio show is called Weeding Out Business. We're dropping seeds. You're dropping them. And our slogan is, we'll make your yard pop. But on all of our trucks, we're going to have a fun phrase on the side of them that with the word popping after it. So one of the trucks says, what's popping? And the other truck says, weeds popping. And that is a 100-gallon spray tank in the bed of it. And you know, we have to have licensed applicators out there driving it. in order to be legal, you know, or else we're going to get stopped by the Department of Agriculture and slapped with a fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do all the precautions necessary to be able to market that out loud because it's funny, you know, like weeds popping, right?
Right. Yeah, right. That's like
and,
crazy.
And the other truck, we're going to put Mary popping, M-E-R-R-Y popping. What does it mean? I don't know.
No,
it's funny. And then the other one, we're going to put yards popping. So that'll be our yard cleanup truck, and it's a big white guy, and you know it'll be pulling a big old trailer behind it.
What about
so
when you have a TV commercial, do you have a jingle ready for that yet?
You're gonna need a rip glass for that one. Isn't that big?
I do have a couple. Ready. Here's pop, pop, a bit of pop, 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 the yards. Pop all the weeds up, pop all the weeds up, pop the yards. That's all I had.
A little bit more refining.
I had to remember what it was.
What did you do with all that money?
What money?
Money your mom gave you for singing lessons.
I bought a spray rig.
You bought a spray rig.
You know what a spray rig is?
You know what you bought first. You bought a set of golf clubs, and then you bought the spray rig.
Yeah. You know what a spray rig is?
Is that what's on the back of your truck, right?
No, that's the machine that we have. It's a big old, a lot of golf courses have it to like spray greens and stuff. And yeah, man, that's like the
Jacobson.
That's like the breaking mark of my of this business. It's funny. Like I bought it like 7 years ago, right? And to rent it to a golf course in town, they were going to pay me like $250 a month because if their quote was over $4,000 a year, they had to do a bid. I'm like, we'll make it $4,000. no competition. I don't want it parked in my backyard. Let's make $250 a month. And so with that machine, we were able to, you know, lease it to them and then get a couple interesting jobs in town, like painting golf courses, fairways green. You know, Arizona National didn't overseed 1 year, so they got a hold of me. They heard I had a spray rig. I went out there and sprayed the golf course 3 times for them, you know, at like a $25 an acre. You know, it was pretty awesome. Like, I didn't know how to price it. What do you charge? I'm like calculating, like, okay, how many acres do you have? Okay, yeah, that works. Yeah, that seems like a good number. That's what I charge. And you know, done. You know, and then they were like, perfect. You know, that's all. We don't have any competition, you know. So, but that wasn't enough to call mom and tell her I made it. But it's been sitting in the backyard, and we got into this landscaping business, and you know, we started, you know, spraying weeds with it, right? Pulling it on a trailer, this big old cart, and then rolling the hose out and spraying these properties that are, you know, small, gigantic, a mixture of both. And then just taking that whole thing and, you know, working from the small leads to like really putting ourselves out there, like just telling everybody, like, you know, trucks are driving out there, you know, we're in referral groups telling like 30 people a week. Hopefully they're remembering what we're saying because it could be funny, you know. And I was telling Justin in this referral group I go to every week, there's like 30 people and they all have this paper right in front of them, you know, and they're like, they're reading their script. And I think it's awesome, right? Like, I don't think that preparation is bad by any means, but in this group, I don't even know what I'm going to say until it gets to my turn. And I literally just listen to what other people say. And, I kind of like have a general idea. Like last day we did a, you know, hi, my name's Josh, Poppy Yard Solutions. You know, a good customer for us is, you know, gravel. Who wants new gravel in their house? Maybe a person that has a house that's 15 years or older, right? Because the gravel's been washed away. They want new stuff. Maybe they have old grass. We can rip it out, spray it for weeds, put the gravel on, and then come back 6 months later. Boom. Right? It's a great customer for us. And, you know, I used this little German guy that's in the group. He's a home inspector. He mentioned about how like the world would be perfect if, you know, the Germans ran the government, the Swiss were the lovers, and, you know, and then he did. So I used that German little joke and told everybody at first that my great grandpa's name was Heil. And so after I told her we'd do the, you know, we were going to do the gravel project for him and, you know, yada, yada, Josh Grubaugh, we'll make a yard pop and we'll give him Heil, you know, right? So it's like a funny, like I just kind of tied in his little German thing. I didn't know I was going to say that until I stood up, you know, like I think that improv is key. And in improv and business is the way you do it, right? Like if
that's
you can
what
make
we're doing right now, right?
Well, yeah. Going back to like what you're talking about with you know the National Golf was it Arizona National?
Yeah.
You know, committing first and figuring the rest out later. You know, I mean, whether or not you were going to make, you know, a profit or what, I mean, you were there to commit first. I mean, you knew that they needed something, you know, and you just committed to it. And whether you broke even or whether you made a dollar off the deal, you know, but had you not made that, you know, I mean, who's to say that, you know, you would be where you're at right now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the big things, you know, especially with us in business is, you know, sometimes taking that leap of faith, man, and just depending on the skills and the training that we've had and others around us to, to help us get where we want to go.
All right.
So
it's crazy. Just to let everybody know again, this is streaming live on TucsonBusinessRadio.com, and you can watch this series after this is over anytime you want at our channel. You're listening to Weaving Out Business with myself, Josh Grubaugh, and my three guests left to right again are Justin Musgrove. He's an agent with American Family Insurance. Alex Ortiz, the owner of Squeegee Masters, window specialist, residential, cars, you name it, businesses, anything with windows, he can give you an answer, I'm sure. And Alex Alvarez, who's a loan officer with Guaranteed Rate. I've been golfing with everybody. You know, Alex, you guys are pretty close. This is, I'm not going to lie. You've had some good shots occasionally, right? I mean, you're not bad.
I'm new to you. I'm also very, very.
Yeah, you're a new golfer, right? We're all kind of, none of us golfed as little kids, like competitively, right?
I've been doing it 4 years.
We'd be talking bigger business if we had done that.
Probably got a better shot than me.
Yeah, my son, he hits it pretty good. He's a lefty.
Videos, yeah, keep him a lefty. You know, one of the things that I didn't want to get too far past that Justin had mentioned was positive words of affirmation and telling yourself that you can do things. It is a huge thing. I used to be kind of skeptical of it because it's funny. I think we're almost getting kind of the same coaching through different people, him through Tyler and mine through my wife. She's right. Probably my biggest mentor. And them together are always, you know, putting their heads together to make stuff happen. Everything they're learning, they share with each other. And
right.
It's almost like a stepping stone of coaching. And what you're not realizing is hearing that, Justin, you're getting coaching from, you know, people that are multi billionaires, people that have done this stuff before. And it's weird to say, so a lot of people will say, I don't believe in meditating. Not that meditating is going to make you money, but it is. You do have to open your eyes to the fact that 80% of multi billionaires meditate.
Right.
They're in touch with themselves, and positive words of affirmation, internal optimism is a massive thing. If you don't believe you can do it, you won't do it.
Yep.
You know, you look at Mr. Knight, who started Nike. You mentioned Nike earlier, and that guy was shut down a million times. I mean, he was even put against people that were saying, you know, oh, now we are selling these shoes, these Tigers, and not you. We're the distributor of them. So what did he have to do? As a broke person, he had to go to his dad, who was a lawyer, beg for some money, get on a plane, go all the way over to China or Japan, and go talk to the CEO. And he talked him into him being the distributor of those shoes.
Wow.
Had that not happened, where would Nike be?
Right.
It be called? Would it be called Tigers?
Yeah, right. I mean, you just never know, right? I mean, it's just a little phone call, you know, or the one, you know, something to create an interaction between a possible business connection, right? That's what it's all about. And where are you going to meet them? You know, I personally will, like, if I see a truck driving around, you know, we spray weeds, but we don't spray bugs. And if I see a guy spraying bugs, I'll ask him if he sprays weeds at the red light and open my door and pass him a card. And if he says he doesn't spray weeds, if he does say he sprays weeds, guess what? Maybe we could be a resource and get you product for cheaper than you're buying.
Yes.
You know, well,
you know, the best return on investment is a referral.
Sure.
And a referral is the holy grail of advertising. When you get a referral from somebody that you trust, you can't beat that. You can't pay for that. You know, you can't do anything. You know, the way you get that is being a trustworthy person, speaking with authenticity when you talk to your customers. You know, when you were sitting at Arizona National, I'm sure they saw it in your face. You weren't there trying to make money. You were there trying to crunch numbers to just make it happen.
And get some free golf. And I got free golf, you know, yeah. Thanks Arizona National.
Remember my deal with the Views?
The Views, yeah. I worked at the Views Golf. Well, it's called Sun City Vistoso, and they changed it to the Views Golf Club at Oro Valley. And after I stopped working there for like several years, he told me he did the windows on their like community maintenance trucks, and they were kindly enough to give him, you know, 60
rounds of golf. Paid for the material, and they paid for all the labor. I mean,
it's a good golf course.
You got any rounds left?
I do got some rounds left, and I'm ashamed I haven't used them. I'm telling you, people are like, have you used those? I'm like, I think I've only used like 30 of them. But it's so far.
Yeah, it is pretty far out there.
We're a beer when I go, so I got to be an Uber distance.
Yep. Yep. We're over on Broadway and Alvernon right now, Stuart Title. You come here often or no? Not really? Okay. Does anybody come here often for business?
Do not.
No? No, I don't have any reason to be here other than to sit in this chair and talk to you guys. So thanks for being here. So
a lot of my clients, I mean, they use Studio Title. I mean, I'd say it's
a resource.
Yeah, it's definitely a resource, you know, for real estate agents and also to, you know, lenders. You know, I mean, that's more in their ballpark. You know, I would say in my industry, I see a lot of, you know, different checks coming in from Stewart Title. Especially after a client, you know, closes on their house, you know, of course we'll get the check, but, it's one of those things where, I mean, Stewart Title is pretty heavy here in Tucson. So
no, Stewart's a great company. My wife works for a different title company. That's why I don't spend too much time here, but shout out to Andrea Alvarez, Fidelity National Title.
Nice. Nice.
Hey, I have a question for you, Josh.
What's up?
So no pun intended, your business, fairly new, been growing like a weed, right?
Growing like a weed.
So tell us a little bit about, with your business growing so rapidly, how you're staying organized.
Well, you know, my wife's really helped me out a lot. We've delegated a lot of the tasks, you know, that come in with bringing on staff, like payroll and, you know, making sure that we're, you know, we're hiring good people through drug testing them prior to employment, interviewing them, doing the W-9s, you know, all the E-Verify. Justin's been able to help me out with all that. And we've been, you know, blessed enough to have the means to get ourselves, you know, small things like resources, like a printer that allows me to, you know, type up the daily jobs for my staff along with for a receipt for the customer to be emailed or given to them. And, you know, by saving that along with keeping a database of people in our an app called My Customer and, you know, our Google Calendar, and, you know, by always being able to write something down in a calendar, like just a standard write down calendar, because you need every resource you can, and somehow, you know, bulking that all together into the end product, which is, you know, getting to the customer's job when said done and providing them a receipt with information on it. What we did at the price discussed. We're really just about to start doing like our first follow-up series with a lot of our first-time customers, because, you know, most of our customers up until this point have been individual customers. Like, we're not going to like Jim's house 4 times in the last 2.5 months. You know, we've been to Jim's house once. We're going there tomorrow for the second time, right? Because we just met him 35 days ago. So that's just something that we're going to really kind of spearhead, and we're going to send out some thank you cards to those individuals. And in those, maybe, you know, write a custom statement based on services that are needed. You know, hey, thanks a lot for your business. Mm-hmm. You know, we had you on the books in January. We wondered if you wanted to have us come out in July, you know, or early August. Right, give them two options. Something that, you know, I've taken from Justin.
Never give them an out.
Never give anybody an out. Give them two options. That way, they make them think about when you want them out. If
not
they
yes or no, but A or B.
Yeah, and if they obviously don't want you out, they'll say something other. They'll say that no, you know, but don't give them a no. And so through those, literally the simple receipt invoice forms, saving them to my computer, saving them to a little zip drive, providing it to my staff to have transparency as what's expected and what, you know, what's going on, with the customer's information on there too, for contact reasons. You know, it's just been a real game changer for us to, you know, in the morning, we were talking yesterday about like, what do you do in the morning for like a daily meetup or a huddle, yeah, right? Well, we don't have necessarily the time in the morning to have an hour of free time before we get out there, because we start at 6:30, 7:30. It's getting hot, and we got to get these guys home, right? So, you know, by having this, it can be a quick, you know, bullet pointed, very lean statement conversation. Obviously, I like to greet my staff with "Good morning, how was your day last night?" You know, so just basic respect for people is what I try to do on a daily basis, along with provide a job that's doable and transparent as far as what's expected and what's, you know, what's being done, right?
Let me kind of stop you right there, man. Let me just, you know, since we're all here, you know, we're constantly growing in our business. I mean, what do you think having a morning meeting could possibly do, I mean, for your business? I mean, if you were to literally make that a priority, to share, you know, what it is, you know, for, you know, since you're the business owner, you're the CEO, you know, sharing with your customers like your vision for where you want Poppy Yard Solutions to go. I mean, where do you think that the height, you know, where do you think you could go with it?
I think that it could just it just helps morale within the staff, right?
I can tell you firsthand. I used to run a sales team, a ton of guys. I mean, we're talking guys. You ever go to the car wash where they try to sell you a windshield?
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily run them completely, but I was very involved in the way that they were scheduled and ran it. I can tell you right now, having that morning meetup is a huge thing. When you get to a point, Josh, where you have 25 trucks and, you know, 30 guys working for you going out every day, there's some that you're going to have to stay on.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Getting to a place early in the morning and being there, having to be there at a certain time or you know, before they're actually leaving is a huge thing. You gain a lot of trust in your employees knowing that they're there for the company. They want to be there for it.
You're creating that culture.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And that's what you get people to stay.
They feel appreciated when you involve them in on things, because those meetings are where you can talk about, hey guys, you know, we're doing this. Our numbers are here. It's great to share that with your employees. They feel appreciated, and appreciated employees will always do extra things.
Right.
If you don't feel appreciated, you won't do anything extra for the company you work for.
Yeah. No, that is something I need to like try to work on and like, you know, make it a point to like make it an event, you know, because in the golf business, right, I was superintendent at 49ers and I worked at a couple other places. Every morning, you really can't get started until you meet as a bulk, right? So it's almost like a given. It's a meeting, and obviously it's a given when everybody gets there. We're all going to see each other, but there's never been a precedence of, hey, it's a meeting, right? I worked for the Ritz-Carlton for a couple of years, and we had a meeting every day. The Ritz-Carlton has a sheet, a paper that has like, you know, this whole ordeal. Not the vision statement. It's literally like they'll put a case study of something that happened at a Ritz-Carlton every day. And it's read every day in the morning. And we read in Spanish for the Spanish speakers and English. And oh my gosh, you know, and we wouldn't say the credo every day or the employee promise every day. But, you know, it was just something that you knew it was going to start the day. And you can, you know, people like to know what they're getting into for the most part, right? I mean, it's a kind of a gimmick when you
win. You should also be compensated for it too. I believe
paid. Personally. Oh, absolutely.
You know, if you guys saw what happened at T-Mobile like 10, 12 years ago, they were bringing their employees in. Their employees had to come in 10 minutes before shift to check their emails. Well, they got nicked on that really bad. I think like $10 or $12 million
labor board,
because, they had to add 10 minutes to everybody's pay for the whole time they were doing it. Because how unappreciated would it be if you had to come in and not get paid for it?
Yeah, if you do team meetings, you have to be paid. Like there's no...
For a company that cares when they're paying you to come in to tell you about them.
You know, even you know, we have some guys on the crew that they come to the house at the end of the day, right? We get caught up in conversations sometimes, and it's like it gives 5 minutes. You know, I always tell them, hey, you know, we're paying you this much. You know, you got here at 30 after, it's 40 after. We're going to pay you the 25 extra hours, you know, 0.25 extra hours. And it's not much, but at least they know they don't have to bring it up, right? Because nobody likes to bring up the awkward conversation, right? And if it's an employer to the employee, it should be the employer bringing up the awkward conversation, not the employee. I mean, as a person that worked for somebody, it sucks when you get treated badly, and you know, you're the one that's noticing it. And
those are individuals that, you know, you absolutely want to have, you know, on your team. You know, are the individuals that push forth the extra effort,
right?
You know, and that go the extra distance, man, and will stay, you know, sometimes without pay. I mean, those are individuals that I think you know, you have on your team that are starting to share your vision. You know, and I think, you know, kind of going back to those morning meetings, you know, where, you know, you're not only sharing your vision, but you're also setting to the expectations. You're holding people accountable. And I heard something, you know, not too long ago where it was, you know, in the course of these morning meetings, you know, you have to act, you have to set the expectations for, you know, your employees, or they will set their own expectations.
Right.
And when they start to set their own expectations, they're indifferent, you know, to the expectations that you have that align with your vision. And so, you know, here you are trying to go in one direction, but these employees that are setting their own expectations are going in a completely 180, you know, 180 opposite. So, you know, I know Alex, you know, you guys do morning meetings, don't you?
Oh yeah. We have, you know, morning huddles every day, but that kind of stems back from Roy and I with our previous careers at Enterprise Rent-A-Car was huge on our morning huddles. So we open the doors at 7:30. But from 7:15 to 7:30, we huddle up. We provide a training piece to our team every single day. So we're kind of growing their knowledge, giving them more tools for their tool belt.
Right.
We're reviewing numbers on a daily basis, which is important because if you don't know what your sales number's at or, you know, where your performance stands on a daily basis, you're not aware of what it's going to take to improve that or kind of, you know, you don't know where you stand. Right. So how you can get better.
Yeah. No.
And then also the biggest importance for having that morning huddle is just to make sure that everyone's aligned with a singular goal and everyone's on the same page. So when that door opens up, you're not running around like chickens with your head cut off. You all have a plan. Like, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. I'm the quarterback, and let's mm-hmm. have a successful day.
Yeah. So. And it gives everybody a chance to speak up too, yep. And also give kudos where due. You know, if you Absolutely. Have a big staff and you don't see everybody at the end of the day, the next day you can guarantee that you'll see them. You know, unless something happened and they couldn't make it to work, yep. That happens. Morning meetings are awesome. You know,
everybody knows the feeling of doing something really good and not being noticed for it.
Yeah,
that's a really bad feeling. You never want to feel that way at a workplace.
Yeah, no, you because that's when people start to build their own, opinion of what's needed to be done. You know,
about making your own culture
exactly, or creating yep. your own business.
Right.
You know, I mean, look at how many different. I mean, I bet you, if you were to look at a lot of these businesses that are, that we use every single day. I mean, I bet you if you look at the stories of the individuals who founded those businesses, they were in some way working for somebody who did not appreciate their efforts. And, either they were undervalued or underappreciated. And, one night they probably looked in the mirror and said, man, like, what's the difference between, me working for this individual and then potentially working for myself? Because, they've got the right work ethic, and it's just a matter of just, actually putting that action into place. And
you want to hear like a kind of like a contrary to that.
Sure.
I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, pretty good guy to work for. I'm not going to like lie to you or, try to, disrespect you. I'm going to do a shout out to Nate Dixon, our first employee who, his last day is today, and he's going off on his own to run his own business, carpet cleaning. And, he told me it wasn't the fact that I disrespected him and why am I working for this guy. He told me that I gave him a lot of encouragement to chase his dreams. Right. So, I mean,
that's
amazing. Right. So kudos to Nate Dixon. Right.
We all do what we do because of passion. Also, I had a hard time. It was like a super big breakthrough because me and my wife work so much. And another shout out, Rebecca Crane Sells EXP Realty. She's doing awesome, and she was just featured in Tucson's
Tucson Producers. Or it's the Real Producers.
Yeah, the Real Producers.
Yep, I saw that article.
Rising
killing
star.
It. Yep,
killing it. Did $14 million in sales last year.
Santa Rita.
On pace for 20 this year. And like I said, she's my
something in the water at Santa Rita.
I'm telling you, there's something. It's the coaches. Her dad was a coach there, actually.
Yeah, Joe Crane. Good guy.
Yeah, did not know that.
And Poppy Yard Solutions sprays Joe Crane's yard.
About passion, we have this big breakthrough where we got to the point where when we first got together, we spent so much time together, and then you go to spending so little time together when you're working a lot,
yep.
creating these empires, and you have to realize that in life, you can be a happy person if you have a passion of your life. You don't necessarily have to have a love of your life, but you have to have a passion.
Right.
Having a love of your life and a passion of your life is just icing on the cake, but you better learn how to separate those two, otherwise they're gonna butt heads. And fortunately, my wife respects my passion, and I respect hers, and we're able to live under one roof without her beating me up every day.
Yeah, no, it's a battle, right? You have to be able to support somebody and support what they're doing with full focus, and then also keep doing what you're doing with full focus. And it's a teeter totter thing, right?
I love her motto. Her motto is people come to her workplace and they leave a better person for their families.
There you go.
And she believes that 100%. And that's the reason why she does so well. She doesn't count her earnings. She'll count how many families she helped.
Right.
And it just goes way beyond that. That's just such a small example of when you think that way, it comes. And it comes in fast. And sometimes it comes in so fast you don't know where to put it.
Well, right. There's a lot of individuals that will talk about, if when you start helping other people, you inadvertently, without even looking at it, you help yourself, along with it. Like, with you helping Nate, understand what it looks like to run a business because you were just recently in the startup stage. And then just, showing Nate, hey, these are all the right things to do. And then for he himself, looking at you and using you as a mentor, maybe you just, motivated him to take a leap of faith, and maybe a leap of faith that he never had before. Maybe it was something, the culture that he grew up in you know, maybe it was individuals that were, you know, around him telling him, well, you know, you can't start up a business without any money. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, that old saying, you know, people think that, you know, it takes money to make money. And that's not true. I mean, it takes courage. I mean, I look at, you know, you're a prime example, Josh. I mean, I was there from the get-go from when you started Poppy Yard Solutions,
right?
You know, the night that it came through with the name.
Man. Yeah.
And, you know, looking at where you're at right now, dude, it's absolutely incredible, man. I mean, you made a drive up to Phoenix last night to get a big old truck. And, you know, I mean, there's intent behind everything that you do. And there's a vision behind everything you do. You know, getting these individuals on board, man, just, I mean, it's crazy just seeing these individuals that, you know, you're sending my way to, you know, for us to help you, you know, through the hiring process and getting them on board to, you know, the insurance and stuff like that. But, it's just amazing, man. I mean, it's just like, and there's so many different people that think that it can't happen and that you can't grow this fast. And it's not true.
Yeah,
and
no.
It's having the courage and having the self-belief, you know, going back to like what, you know, Alex and I were talking about is, you know, those positive affirmations. You know, it's really cool when you see all that stuff really start to play. And when you have, you know, an individual that's on your team like Brandy, man, and the same thing with me and Danielle. You know, where, you know, they are constantly just that support, not only, you know, throughout the course of the day, you know, but they are there, you know, there for us, mentally, emotionally, physically, and, you know, having that success partner, dude, I think attributes to the amount of success that we have, you know, because the vision, we share the same vision.
Yeah.
So,
well, we're all blessed, right? We all have special women in our lives. Yeah. And, you know, you're the only one with children yet, but hey, you guys are doing your thing. So yeah. They'll come. Count your blessings.
We pulled the goalie.
That's good. There's no goalie in the court. Yeah, so
Josh come over and spray his anti.
Yeah, no, we'll do the organic. you know, what's your son's name, Alex?
His full name is Marcelino. We call him Maxie.
Okay, cool. Yep. And Maxie, you got some dogs? I know that.
I got some dogs. I got Charles Winston.
Okay,
he's a little miniature schnauzer. I got him at the Mayo Clinic Liver Foundation in December. That was awesome. That was a fun live auction there.
Right.
Going up against like a trillion surgeons and surgeons' wives.
For a dog?
Yeah, for a dog. But I actually got super lucky. I think I just overplayed the field. And, you know, I had asked the girls, what's this dog going to get up to? And they said, oh, it's going to get up to like $5,000. The last one in Phoenix went for like $4,000. And
me
and
Becky, kind of dog is this?
It's a miniature schnauzer, but the whole point was giving back. Mm. And we had just lost another dog to a rare disease, and my wife wanted it. She walked in. She's like, I want that dog. So we sat down, you know, it's going to this, so we're going to be able to write it off, which we were not able to. If you buy a live animal, you cannot write it off. So,
there's no tax form.
But thank God. So we looked at each other. What are we going to go up to? So we looked, and we came up with a number of 4,300 because our number was 43.
Okay.
He went at 1,200. So the second that it got to 400, and I think it might have to do with how beautiful my wife is, and I probably look like a vascular surgeon, being sitting next it got to like $300 and I stood up and I was like, with the most assertion ever, I was like 1,200, and not a single person went after that.
So you didn't have to spend the total that you were thinking.
Nope, we walked away with a best friend for life. He's awesome now. He's actually getting groomed right as we speak. I know he's liking that. He's kind of a furball. And then we have Patty. We got Patty on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
We drove all the way to L.A. to get her.
Holy cow.
Because you just can't find
dog parents.
Little Boston Jerry's. There are kids right now, man.
Dog parents. It's, you know, are you a kid parent and a dog parent, Justin?
Not both, man.
Yeah, me too.
Once you're a kid parent, the dogs aren't as important to you.
I don't know, man. I mean,
I sleep with my dogs more than my kids still.
it's kind of an inside joke with my wife. I mean, I had my dog Max. He's a golden retriever. He's 13 years old. My wife and I have been together for 12 years. And so Max kind of came into the picture a couple months before, you know, Danielle. And those of you that know me, of course, know Max, dude. Max is like the greatest dog, I swear, that has ever walked this face of the earth. And, you know, so many people look at me and say, no way, man, like my dog is. And I'm like, well, you know, but it's one of those things, man. You know, Max came first. He's still with us, man. And, you know, Danielle and I, we've been together for 12 years. We've been married for going on, I think this one, next one will be 8 years.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. So we have our son, Easton, and then we also have our youngest son, Corbin. So
that's what we want to name our kids. So that's great.
Corbin?
No, Easton. Easton was one of them. We're both ball
baseball.
Players. Yeah, that's exactly where Easton's name came from, man. And,
that's cool.
And I grew up playing ball. And, you know, when I first met my wife, man, I was playing league ball probably 4, if not 5 nights a week. I had a Monday league, Tuesday league, Wednesday league, Friday league.
And the MSBL?
No, men's upper league softball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was, and then on the weekends, man, I would just, you know, travel, you know, whether it was Tucson, Phoenix, Casa Grande, you know, all over the creation. And then, you know, it's funny, my wife, she had just bought me this, this really awesome, Brett Helmer Easton bat. And, it was like in that same course of the week, my wife ended up finding out that she was pregnant. And right off the bat, man, it was like, dude, it was going to be Justin Jr. My wife shut that down immediately. She was like, you know.
No need to Justin.
Yeah. No.
That just was not going to happen. And, you know, and then so she was in the bedroom and then she kind of came around the corner and she was like, what about Easton? And I was like, oh, man, I love it. Right. And, you know, at the same time, too, it's kind of funny how the whole story goes. But Easton Corbin, I mean, that's all I listen to is country music. He was just hitting the whole limelight and I was like, well, it's baseball, it's country. I was like, man, all cylinders are flying, man. And that was exactly how it came about. And I was like, I tell you what, dude, if we have another boy, he's going to be Corbin.
That's awesome.
And sure enough, man, we ended up having another boy. And so we kind of switched it up a little bit. We just changed it from a C to a K. So
there you go. That's cool.
New age.
Yep.
And, you know, my beautiful wife works for the sheriff's department, Brandy Grubaugh, and our kids are Trip and Poppy. And, you know, people are kind of often surprised that Poppy's only 10 months old. And, you know, so how old is the damn business, right? You know, so the business is literally this week, 3 months old, right? So it's 3 month anniversary coming up on the 13th of the month.
Right.
So
you have McDonald's the day you started it, I think.
No. That was like a month in.
So you're still counting your business like your baby before a year. Like, oh, yeah, my business is 15 weeks old.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we're still counting weeks. Like, you know, it's crazy to think.
7 months old.
So, but when we started it, we have our parent company, which is Gruco LLC. And that's when I bought the spray rig. I just started that LLC up, you know, 5 years ago. And so I just paid the dues that were needed to get it back up and going. And we were like, what do we name the company? And my wife, Brandy's like, you know, how about Yard Solutions? And we're like, well, it can't just be Yard Solutions. And we're thinking, and I thought within a couple minutes, I said, how about Poppy Yard Solutions? You know, like name it after her. And I'm thinking, we'll make your yard pop. What's popping? Weeds popping? You know, all these things popping. This popping, Mary pop. You know, all these things are like great catch lines. And the business is not generally one thing, right? It's a solution of what? The yard. So it's an all-encompassing title that kind of speaks for itself. And, you know, we've had a really good reception to people when they, you know, hear the name of the company. Like, they just hear the name of the company, they're like, that's cute. Yeah. Like, how did you come up with that, right? And it's like, well, it's our daughter. And they're like, boom, right? You know, like, if we're good people and we do the work, why would they go anywhere else? They've already built some sort of small love towards us. And, you know, we've...
It's the credibility right there. I mean, when you tell somebody that, everybody knows a loving dad is going to name
you. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, think of this little girl. She's going to, like, you know, come grow up with this little company, like, you know, named after her. And, you know, so we'll need Trip to take it over, you know, so... Trip will be running it, and you know, people say, what about Trip? Is he going to be jealous? No, he's going to be fine. He'll be golfing. Yeah. Hopefully not tripping over his feet. We're here broadcasting live at Stewart Title in Tucson, Arizona. It's a pretty nice day. It rained hard yesterday in Phoenix. We were driving back, my dad and I, talking and, you know, enjoying the weather because it doesn't rain that hard here. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. A haboob I drove through, and then we made it back at like 8:30. You know, called it a night, wrote up my invoices for today.
Yeah.
Two of them, three-hole punch one, put that in the binder. The other one's for the customer. Go to bed. You know, wake up the next day. My son helps me get ice for the guys. Ice and water bottles, right? Put them in the trailer for him. You know, then he probably cries a little bit because he wants to see the guys, but they're not there yet, you know? And then, you know, it's off to the races, you know? And every day we're just hoping that we can, you know, make, you know, use my opposite of tunnel vision to find a phone number that I haven't called, right? Like, let's get a hold of somebody that we haven't talked to today. Let's maybe follow up with the home advisor lead that we got a month and a half ago or 2 months ago and see what they're doing, if they need anything to, you know, any help with. And let's hope a home advisor comes on in, maybe two, and then we pause them because we don't want to get paid for too many leads. Home advisor is an awesome lead source, but if you don't have the money to pay for the potential job, it's not a good,
or the resources,
you know. Yep. So anyway, guys, that's it. We're wrapping up. Weeding Out Business with Josh Grubaugh, Poppy Yard Solutions, episode one. Our guests were Justin Musgrove, American Family Insurance, Alex Ortiz, owner of Squeegee Masters, Alex Alvarez, loan officer with Guaranteed Rate. They're all doing cool things. Thanks, guys.